Thanks for listening today, and join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
Heal a broken heart. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and I'm excited to be with you to share some encouragement from God's Word today. This program is intended to be your spiritual cup of coffee. On this show, we share faith journeys and testimonies, and we're thankful that you're joining us today. We like to start the program with some scripture, and today, where are we today? We are in the Gospel of Luke. We're in the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We're actually going to talk about this a little bit on the program today. Goes like this. These are words of Jesus. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me daily." This is Everyday Faith Radio, and that was Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We'll be right back with more of Everyday Faith Radio in just a moment. Please stay with us.
This is House Call for Health. There were fears ahead of this year's Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, Florida, that it could result in a coronavirus super spreader event. But not so, says the Hillsborough County Health Department, citing only 54 cases in Florida and just 4 out-of-state cases stemming from the events. Tampa Bay's Super Bowl 54 host committee CEO and president, Rob Higgins, saying,
"I think that the surveillance summary done by the Department of Health really points to how well the health and safety measures worked, whether it was mandatory masks to health screening, to the health screening app, to fan safety managers, to social distancing, all the different modifications that took place throughout the event, I think really has paid off."
The county did, however, experience a slight uptick in positivity rates between January 22nd and February 23rd, but they're blaming unsanctioned events like family gatherings and house parties. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one praying, "Lord above, I need a miracle."
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. I'm so excited. This is Jeff Gaffney. I have back for round two. My oldest daughter, Lizzie Gaffney, is with us on the program. Lizzie, thanks for being here.
Hey, Dad. Happy to be here.
Hey, so today we're doing things a little bit different. Last week we did the same thing, but today it's slightly different. Last week we were answering questions that came in on our website. We still have a few more of those questions to cover. Today, though, Lizzie gets to ask her dad any question about a topic in the Bible. I'm sure she'll stump me. Lizzie, where you want to start?
I want to start with a topic, just an overarching topic. And that topic is something that I think a lot of us struggle with, myself included. And the topic is surrendering. So do you want me to describe a little bit more what I'm thinking when I say that? Or do you feel like you know what I mean?
Tell me more.
So by surrender, I mean like handing things over to God, like surrendering your worries, your problems, like basically giving up sense of trying to control everything, something that I struggle a little bit with. And I want to start with that topic, and I'm going to ask you some questions about that. And I think first, I just want to know, what does surrendering look like for you, Dad?
Well, great question. And this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, Lizzie Gaffney, tuning in with us. And the topic is surrender. And the Bible talks about this quite a bit. And I'm going to go there in just a moment. But I will say that when you, so there's reading, knowledge, So the type of knowledge that you get through reading and following in the Bible somebody else's story. And then there's what's called experiential knowledge, where you've actually experienced that. And so I'm going to talk about that for just a moment. One of the things, in order to get to surrender, it's so difficult because our culture preaches a gospel that is completely different than that. Our culture preaches that everything we do is based on our hard work and the sweat of our brow, and the harder you work, the more successful you'll be, and you kind of get caught in that cycle. Does that make sense to you, Lizzie?
Absolutely.
You hear that every day.
I think I'm in that cycle.
Yes.
Help me.
Okay. So what happens is, when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, now that's a big step to do that. But when you do that, there is this phrase that is called dying to self. And what that means is sort of like the scripture we read at the very beginning, where Jesus says, and it couldn't have been a very attractive offer, because he said, whoever wants to come after me, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow me daily. So that doesn't really sound like a very appealing offer. But when you do that and you put your life into the hands of Jesus, the Apostle Paul calls that being a new creation. You get to, or at least in my life, I've been able to experience the provider God. And by that, it means some things have happened in my life that only God could accomplish. It couldn't have been me. And so once you experience that in your life, you're able to sort of hand it over a little bit more frequently. Now, a lot of that comes through prayer, where we simply say to God, I have this need. I can't do it. Will you step in and help me? It's a pretty basic prayer, but I think God loves and honors those most basic, simple prayers. Now, a lot of us were brought up that we have to memorize this prayer or memorize that prayer. And what I have found is the way to surrender, the way to hand over yourself to God, is through a simple, simple prayer of saying, God, I want you into my life. I am in a situation where I can't handle it myself, and I need your help. And when you pray these prayers, what I have found is those are the times when God steps in and he provides for you, because we have this provider God. And once you've experienced that, it becomes this cycle of hand it over, God provides, hand it over, God provides. Did I touch on that okay for you, Lizzie? You have more questions?
Yeah, I think my follow-up question to that is, I'm a person who likes goals. So if my goal is to surrender my anxiety, my worries to God, then I like, whenever I set a goal, to break that down into a smaller goal, almost an atomic goal, if you will. And so that to me is a habit. So a habit is something you do automatically, something that you do every day or very frequently. And so I'm wondering, what is a habit that I could adopt into my life? And you kind of touched on this a little bit already, but what is something that I could put into practice in my life every day that would get me closer to that goal of surrender?
Well, the fact that you are asking this question, the fact that you are wrestling with this topic is a good thing from a biblical perspective. When you go back deep into the Bible, into the book of Genesis, it talks about how Jacob, one of the whose name ends up being changed to Israel, he was the father of Israel. Jacob wrestled with God. And after he wrestled with God, he came out a changed person. And so the fact, Lizzie, that you are wrestling with this question means that you are getting closer to God. And the closer that you get to God is the more that you will see change, or what the Bible refers to as transformation. Now, everybody wants to get there kind of on their own steps. They want the checklist that you referred to.
I like a checklist.
I know you do. And that's good.
Give me my checklist. But
let me give it. Okay.
How can I checklist to letting go?
So when you are a full-on follower of Jesus, you will read his word. It's just you're thirsty for more of him. Once you've gotten into this relationship with Jesus, you just want more, and you want more. And the way to get more that I have found what works for me is reading God's word. We learn in the Bible that Jesus is the word made flesh. So that sounds so bizarre and so abstract. But once you read God's word, and before I read God's word, I say a very simple little prayer. I say, God, tell me what you want me to understand in this passage. And usually something jumps right out at me. Now, Lizzie, for you or your friends or anybody else who finds themselves in this situation of wanting to hear from God, and wanting to experience surrender and transformation, you might start with a devotional. And I am going to tell you one that that many women read. I read it as well. It's called Jesus Calling. And I believe the author is Sarah Young. And what Sarah Young does in her devotion, it's very short, it's all biblically oriented, but she takes the voice of Jesus and talks right through you. Maybe after the break, we'll give you an example of what that sounds like, but it's very penetrating when you're able to take this big Bible, the Word of God, and then personalize it down to you. And I think, Lizzie, for somebody like you, who's checklist oriented, if you read this devotion, and there's others, but if you read this or God's word every single day and you just made that part of your practice, you would find that you would grow closer to God and that you would start to sense this transformation and surrender in your life. Lizzie, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Everyday Faith Radio in just a moment.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
Pope Francis makes an historic trip to Iraq, defying the twin threats of escalating violence in the region and a global pandemic.
This crisis calls for concerted efforts by all to take necessary steps, including an equitable distribution of vaccines for everyone.
The pontiff becoming the first bishop of Rome to say mass in the land of the prophet Abraham was considered the father of the three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The pope bringing peace and hope to a region ravaged for a decade by ISIS extremists that displaced thousands of Christians and destroyed churches and whole communities. Pope also meeting with the Muslim cleric, the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, sending a message of reconciliation. Father Mark Morozovich, Catholic University of America.
To be in the land where Abraham was born, to build bridges with the Islamic world, to travel to, you know, sit down with a prominent cleric and really to demonstrate that we can coexist in peace.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, sitting in with us on the program today. My oldest daughter, Lizzie Gaffney, round two. She was on the show last week. Back in this week, we're playing this game called Bible Man, where she can ask me any question about something in the Bible or a topic in the Bible. We're covering the very difficult one of surrender. So thanks, Lizzie, for bringing a difficult one.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we referenced Sarah Young with Jesus Calling. That might be a nice devotional. I'm gonna ask Lizzie to read just a couple paragraphs from today's devotion on Sarah Young, and then we'll just talk about it a little bit. Here you go, Lizzie.
Yeah, before I start reading this, I just want to clarify for people who are just tuning in. I was asking my dad, what are some things that I could implement into my life every day to help me get closer to this monumentous task of surrendering, so releasing control. And I'm going to just read the one from today. So make friends with the problems in your life. Though many things feel random and wrong, remember that I am sovereign over everything. I can fit everything into a pattern for good, but only to the extent that you trust me. Every problem can teach you something, transforming you little by little into the masterpiece I created you to be. The very same problem can become a stumbling block over which you fall if you react with distrust and defiance. The choice is up to you, and you will have to choose many times each day whether to trust me or defy me. The best way to befriend your problems is to thank me for them. This simple act opens your mind to the possibility of benefits flowing from your difficulties. You can even give persistent problems nicknames, helping you to approach them with familiarity rather than with dread. The next step is to introduce them to me, enabling me to embrace them in my loving presence.
Okay, Lizzie, did you get anything out of that? Did that speak to you at all?
It did speak to me because I was actually, when I was visiting my parents for the weekend, I normally am in Washington, D.C., and on my drive down here, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about how we can think of ourselves as a work in progress while at the same time a masterpiece. And so the word masterpiece was in that. And so I feel like that was speaking to me. And this concept of that things that are difficult are really meant to teach us a lesson. Mm. And, you know, I think we talked about this last week, but for those of you who didn't listen last week, I am a teacher right now. I teach 10th grade world history, and my school is returning in person after a year of being virtual. And there are so many things out of my control, and I have to remind myself many times a day that every challenge is trying to teach me something. And so that's like a question that I keep asking myself, what is this trying to teach me? And I think if we can look at our problems like that, they don't seem so pointless or like a waste of time, which is easy to fall into that trap. So that really spoke to me from that devotional.
What do you think, and we were talking about Jesus Calling is the name of the book, and Sarah Young is the author, terrific devotional. What do you think about the idea or the concept of thanking God in advance for like helping you to untangle your problems, the thanking in advance?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe there's power in that. I think that sets myself into believing that the future outcome is ultimately good. And so even if I wake up and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to convince children to keep masks on or not come near me or whatever the problem may be, I can be thinking that by the end of the day, my head's going to hit the pillow again and, you know, what will be. And so trying to come to peace with that, I think the suggestion that you just made makes me feel peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, there's a couple of themes that run throughout the Bible. One that we talk about all the time is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, which my paraphrase of that is, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. And so I think the real, where the rubber meets the road for the believers and the followers of Jesus is when you can say, well, really invite Jesus into your problems. Because again, what the enemy meant for bad, God can still use that for good. And so when you invite Jesus into your problems and say, let's for instance, this might or might not work for you, Lizzie, but we're going back to school and, you know, it may be that not all the kids get to come back on the same day, or it's a staggered schedule, but maybe out of that, something good blossoms. In other words, maybe you're able to pay attention or give extra attention to a student that you wouldn't normally be able to. Maybe it affords you an opportunity. And so when you look at it from kind of the Jesus calling or the biblical perspective of God can still use this for good. Does that sort of fit into your world?
Yeah. And I think when I'm not in the eye of the hurricane, it's like much easier for me to digest that and understand that.
Yes.
But I think in the moments when we need to have this perspective most, for me especially, it becomes challenging for me to see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And I think taking the time to read the devotional and just spend a little time reflecting and just asking that question, like, what is God trying to teach me with this? Maybe it's something I don't understand yet. And maybe it's something that I couldn't have even predicted. Mm-hmm. And I think what I struggle with, like a lot of people, especially during a pandemic, is this feeling or voice that's like, this isn't how I thought it was going to go. Mm-hmm. And that voice, it kind of needs to push that. This isn't the way I wanted it to be, or this isn't how it's supposed to be. There is no supposed to be. There just is what exists. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's supposed to be can be a really sticky place. And when I get caught there, that's when I get these anxious thoughts. That's when I feel out of control and sad. And so I think, you know, grounding myself in the words of that devotional could be a really powerful tool because it's going to remind me of the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And when I don't take the time to do that, that is when I feel the most lost.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, oldest daughter, Lizzie Gaffney, co-hosting with us today. Lizzie, we're winding up the show. It's so fun having you on the program. I'm so proud of you. I want to ask you kind of this question, just in terms of mindset, in terms of putting feet to your faith, putting your faith into practice. Is it possible? And I just don't know if it is, but is it possible? Because in my business, I'm a real estate broker and I deal with lots and lots of problems all day long. I deal with lots of people who are anxious, nervous, excited, upset, all ranges of emotions. And what I have learned, Lizzie, is to really pray to say, Lord, bring me who you want me to serve today. And so I'm wondering for you as a teacher, you're so organized. You have so much going on that you have to remain in control. But is it possible that maybe you say a prayer of, Lord, bring me the student today who is hurting. Bring me the one who has the problem. Bring me the one that I can be a blessing to.
I don't know if I'm trying to call any more problems into my life at this exact moment. Maybe it's bring me the student that is joyful and can remind me of that joy. I think something that did make me really excited on, and I feel like I've been a little bit negative on here. I'm not trying to be negative, but something that did make me feel more positive as we transition. The students aren't back yet. The teachers went back this week, students return next week, And a student told me in the chat on Zoom, which is how we do our classes, they sent me a message that said, the only reason I'm looking forward to returning to school is because of your class. Mm. And so I used to hear things like that all the time, every day. And because kids say that and they don't even realize how much it means to you as a teacher, right? It's like whatever just comes off their tongue. And I'm sure not every kid feels that way, but the few little gems that you get like mm-hmm. that's what drives you as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And virtually, you don't get that. Mm-hmm. Kids don't normally say things like that. And if they do, maybe they say it to their friend or their parent, but you don't overhear them like you do in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Like you overhear kids saying things like, this is the first time I felt good at something before. You hear them say that and you're like, oh, wow, my life has purpose or my career has purpose. So I think something that I am looking forward to is those interactions and connections with students. I don't know what most of their faces look like because they don't turn their cameras on. And just the act of seeing their eyes, even though I'm not going to be seeing their mouth, but seeing their eyes, that hopefully is going to bring a lot more joy into my life. So.
Well, Lizzie Gaffney, thanks again for being on the show. I'm going to say a prayer for you, for all the teachers and students returning to the classroom. Prayer for all of our listeners, including my mother and her friends that tune in at Westminster Canterbury. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Lizzie Gaffney, thanks for being on Everyday Faith Radio.
Thanks for having me.
See y'all next week.
God, we need you to come.
The Joe Thomas in the Morning Show from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
He's expected to sign another executive order. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. The White House says later today, President Biden will direct federal agencies to take a series of steps to promote voting access. The order coincides with the anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Alabama.
Today marks 56 years since the marches and Bloody Sunday, when more than 500 demonstrators gathered on March 7, 1965, demanding the right for black people to vote, and crossed Selma's Edmund Pettus Bridge as protesters were met by dozens of state troopers.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Last week, House Democrats passed a bill that they say will help stifle attempts to suppress votes. Republicans call it unwanted federal interference to a state's authority to conduct its own elections. Democrats stuck together in the Senate and passed a COVID relief bill this weekend. It now heads back to the House for a vote Tuesday.
The measure provides $1,400 stimulus checks to individuals earning less than $75,000 a year and extends enhanced unemployment benefits through early September. Unlike the House-passed version, there is no increase to the minimum wage.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Republicans who voted against the plan say it's loaded with non-pandemic partisan priorities. Another show of force in the skies over the Middle East. A pair of B-52 bombers.